Have you ever asked yourself this very important question? Why is there confusion in some churches? Why are there fights, bickering, schisms, divisions? Why do these things happen in churches? Hi, I'm Pastor Coleman of the Olivet Baptist Church, and I believe that this situation takes place in churches primarily because of a lack of knowledge of what the Word of God teaches about that very important issue. I do not believe that we as believers should accept the lie that we are to expect these type of divisions, for these conclusions are satanic. Now, I'm just not speaking from the top of my head. I like to expound that idea with the Word of God, and I think that that's important. I also believe that it's of the primary importance that you as a believer search your scriptures to identify this very important problem in the life of your particular church. It matters not whether you attend Olivet, it matters not whether you're a Baptist, Episcopalian, whatever you are. What does God's Word have to say about church splits? Now, I want you to get your Bible. And I'm not going to talk about the church splitting down the middle, but I believe the church splits starts with confusion. In 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 33, we find some very particular words there that says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. How about your church? How about your life? Since you are a believer and a part of the body, I believe that God speaks to us through His Word. The question is, my friend, are you willing to pay attention? To those of you that are spiritual leaders in your church and that will be spiritual leaders in your church, I would ask that you would pay very close attention to this very short but important message, for it has to do with the embitterment of your church and the endangerment of the church when we allow Lucifer to loosen our minds from the loving Holy Spirit that governs and directs us. God bless you, and I hope that you do enjoy this 30-minute message. Another of the presentation of the Point A Tape Ministry, which is an outreach of evangelism used by our church here in Los Angeles, the Olivet Baptist Church. I'm John Coleman, the senior pastor. God bless you. Now, this message was preached back in 1988 when I believed everything that I just said. I didn't believe that the ministry that I was in could be affected by this malady, because I believe that everybody in the church agreed with the Bible verse that I just read and the way that it is properly defined within its proper context. In other words, the vet would never self-destruct through this kind of unruliness in church, and that's exactly what happened in the vet, because the vet was polluted with humankind. And when humankind is organized in a religion where you have someone in charge, someone receiving money, someone giving money, someone in a power position, or anything like that, that confusion will arise. Having said that, let's listen to this. All right.
Order in the church. This verse says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." This verse right here is the capsulizing verse of the whole of 1 Corinthians. Paul wrote to a very troubled church in the first century church, a church that started off with splits. That's how his letter started off. "I hear that there's splits amongst you. I hear that there's schisms going on." Then he had to write to them and say, "I heard that you guys are performing a sin in this church that the Gentiles don't even do, that a man should have his father's wife." My Lord. Then he had to talk with these people because they were a super saint syndrome. "I'm of Paul. I'm of Peter. I am of Apollos." Then he had to get them right on spiritual gifts. They were all distorted and confused about that. And so we see him here saying in verse 33 of the 14th chapter, and might I add this, and when he wrote this to the church of Corinth, he did not write in chapters and verses. This was just one sentence in his letter. And he says, "I want you to know that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Paul made a dynamic statement. He was saying, order in the church. There needs to be order in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me start off this sermon by relaying a story. There was an Indian man from India named Malua, and Malua had a son. And he and his son were traveling from one village to the next. And they had a donkey or a mule. And he and his son were walking, and the mule was walking alone and just eating grass by the highway. When he got a certain way down the road, he heard somebody say, "Isn't that a stupid man? He and his son are walking, and the mule is walking alone. Why don't they both get on the mule?" So he gets on the mule with his son. He goes a little further, and then he hears another comment and says, "Oh, aren't they foolish people? Both of those people killing the poor beast of burden. They don't have any sympathy." So what he did is he got off and let his son stay on the mule. As they continued to walk, he heard another comment. And they said, "Oh, what a thoughtless young man, letting the old man walk, and he's riding free." And the old man heard it, and so what he did is he took his son off the mule, and he got on the mule. Went a little further down the road, and he says, "Oh, what a selfish old beat-up man is that." People talking, you know. Why would he ride and not let his son ride with him? And finally, he got into town, and after considering all the comments and all the changes that he went through because people spoke with him, he made this statement that you can't please man, basically. You can't please him. Whatever you do, you're not going to be able to please him. And did you know that whenever there's disorder in the church, it's because we are just like those people, giving our little comments about the way things should be done. I think you ought to do this. And if you don't do it, and if you don't change, you're going to cop an attitude. And Liz, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. I just want to say this right now. You can only please one person in the church of Jesus Christ. And it's Jesus himself. You will never be able to please everybody. But I believe at the same time that the Apostle Paul is saying is that there ought to be some order in the church. Verse 33 is a key to reading this whole book of 1 Corinthians. If there is no order in the church, there is going to be no order in your life. Now, what did he mean by that? When I say that there ought to be order in the church, I want you to know that every time you worship, you are displaying something about God. You are displaying those godly characteristics that all believers display. And those characteristics are characteristics of, number one, peace and harmony. Just 2 points. First point, peace and harmony. That's the characteristics that you are supposed to display in the church. Characteristic of peace. Harmonious relationship with your sister, with your brother, with everybody in the family of God. Whenever you are functioning in a body in a church and there is no peace and harmony, there is no order in the church. As a matter of fact, you might find yourself out of order. Now, when I say peace and harmony, I'm speaking about a disposition or an attitude that I believe every believer should live in. I'm not suggesting this. I believe that it's a command from God. Now, I want you to just write down these scriptures. And if you want to, as you think about your relationship with order in God's church, I want you to think about whether you are living under the guise of this peace and harmony. Let me say this before I continue to go on. I was at a church this evening, and I'm speaking with preachers in this study, and we were all smiling and talking and everything, and I said to myself, "Lord, wouldn't it be great if all this were real? Wouldn't it be great if it were all real, if we could all really feel what we say that we feel?" So, in order to have order in the church, there has to be peace and harmony. And in Romans 15 and 13, we find these words, and it speaks about what should be in the church. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Paul is saying that in order to make a church a prosperous church, a church full of peace and harmony, that church has to be filled with something, filled with all joy and peace. A church is out of order when there's no joy. If ever you come to this place and there's no joy in your heart, and I'm not talking about because of situations in your life, if you have joy before you get here, but the minute you walk in the door, your joy ceases, then you're a church that's out of order in God's sight. Apostle Paul says that this joy may abound in you in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. What is he saying, Linda? You can't have this joy outside of Christ. This is not a superficial fake joy. You can't front up on this thing. Are you happy? I'm happy in Christ. No, you're not. Did you know that when some of you might call me, I speak with John sometime during the week, and he says, how are you doing? I don't lie to that, brothers. I'm not doing well. I got problems. Something on my mind. I can't pray right. It's something not right. There's no peace. There's no joy. And what I have to do is I have to go to God until I find out exactly what it is. Paul furthers that in Romans chapter 8, and he gives us these words. In chapter 8 and verse 6, this is what Paul says about this. He says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. Peace. He says that when you have a carnal mind, now let me explain this to our new believers what the carnal mind is. The carnal mind is the mind that is opposed to godliness. The carnal mind is that mind, Brother Milton, that makes you want to cuss somebody out at the drop of a hat. When somebody mess with you, you're ready to fight. You don't want to consider the situation, you're ready to go down. The carnal mind is like a friend of mine told me. He says, man, before Christ came in my life, when somebody messed with me, I was ready to pull out my gun and blow his ever-loving brains out instantly. That's the carnal mind. You're not supposed to have that mind. When you meet people in God's house that are ready to fight at the drop of a hat, no. They don't have the mind of God, because it says that to be carnally minded is death, spiritual separation. But spiritual minded gives you life and peace. And that's why I say it again, there's peace and harmony in the church of God. Stay in Romans. Go to Romans 14:17. Stay in that book. The Apostle Paul can talk about peace and harmony like you never heard before. That's what brings order in the church. Now, verse 17, Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, he's saying it's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. A lot of people say, wait a minute, you're not supposed to eat pork. Wait a minute, you drink too much coffee. You know we're not supposed to drink wine. Paul says, the kingdom of God is not situated in what I put in my belly, but it is rather righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't say that you're supposed to put booze in your belly, nor did I tell you to eat rotten meat. But what I'm telling you to do is to put the emphasis on the most important things. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is wrapped up in his righteousness and in his peace and his joy and the Holy Spirit doing all that in you. That's going to make you a harmonious, peaceful church. That's going to make us a church that's never out of order. You know, one of the most sorrowful things that a preacher has to do is to discipline a church member. Wouldn't you be embarrassed if you walked out on the lot mat and saw two Christians fighting? I mean, it would blow my mind. I mean, I as a pastor. No, I'm going to make it real dirty. Not two men or two women, but a man and a woman throwing blows. I'd stand there and I'd look. And then if the woman got in a good shot on the man, and then he got mad and cussed out and drug her, and I said, wait a minute. Y'all would try to break it up. I said, wait a minute. What's happening? Let them fight. They got to get it out, whatever it is. Then I'd call them both in my study and set them down and said, every youngster saw you. You dirty hypocrite. You are here with discipline. If the officers in this church, they're stripped of every position they've ever held here. Don't you ever let the devil do a number on you. I'm telling you that the church is a church of peace and harmony, and the Holy Ghost produces that. I can make you so mad and you might want to hit me. Tell me you want to hit me. Man, I'm mad enough to hit you. Thank you. Are you going to hit me? No, because you love me. That's why you're not going to hit me. That's why when your kid does something real bad, you feel like wringing his neck. You're not going to wring anything. You're going to love him. Now, look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. We're going to go along with that. Very, very interesting verse. Galatians 5:22 continues to admonish us about this peace and harmony. For Paul writes to the church of Galatia, just like he did at Rome, and he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Look what he says in 23, meekness, temperance against such, there is no law. And then he says, if you are truly belonging to Jesus Christ, you've crucified the flesh with all that affections and lusts, but you are to live in the Spirit, you should also walk in the Spirit. You know what he's saying? He's saying peace and harmony should shroud you. Every time in the church there is a crucial disagreement. I mean some hard line disagreements. I disagree. You've got to love, joy, peace, long suffering. Step back, let the other guy have the first place. It doesn't matter to you. What matters is his or her happiness. You become the servant, the slave. And if you belong to a church where everybody did that, this would be a beautiful family. There would never be any gossip behind anybody's back. Oh, honey, look how she dressed. She thinks she's something. No. The person that said that has a serious problem. If she dresses well, it's because God blessed her with some money, and she's supposed to spend money on nice dresses. If you ain't got no good dresses, wear what you have and keep your mind to yourself. But then when you go to somebody else, look at her. She thinks she's something. Every time I see her, she got on something new. Well, you know, if somebody come to you like that and you're a Christian, you should say, what's your problem? What's your problem? The pastor got two new tires on his car. You going to talk about that too? And Johnny Jones got on a sweater. I like that. You going to talk about his too? Matt wears $85 shoes. You going to talk about that too? I don't know how much his shoes cost. But see, that's what you're supposed to say to people. You're supposed to make people think you are out of order. And don't come to me. Because the minute God bless you with something, that same person's going to run you down behind your back. Ah, look at them. They got something. Now they won't even call me no more. They don't want to call you because you're a gossip. That's why they don't want to call you. Fellowship. In the first century church, the word is from the Greek word koinonia, fellowship. And this, it means this, that there is a sharing of something in common, that there is a contribution that we offer one another. And that's when we say order in the church. For he says in our text, God is not the author of confusion. If confusion starts, God had nothing to do with it. The devil did. And guess who he used? You. And I'm going to tell you, the devil's going to use anybody he can. He will even try to use it. Did you know he would try to use me, the pastor, to choose favorites? Come on, don't you like them better than them? I'll say, devil, you just a lie. Because that means that you died for somebody better than me. And Christ isn't impartial, neither shall I ever be impartial or partial, however you say it. I'm not going to choose favorites. Second and last point of the sermon tonight, we spoke about peace and harmony, and the opposition of that is that there is no strife and no confusion. He says, brethren, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace and harmony. He is saying that there is no strife and no confusion. Now, let me give you a good definition of what strife is. Turn to James 3:16. Use your Bibles. I'll give you time to get there. James 3:16. I want you to know what strife and confusion is. And so the next time it happens, don't call up your neighbor. Don't talk with your husband and wife. Get your notes and say, hey, wait a minute. This is happening. Look at James chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for where is envying and strife is? Read it the right way, John. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If you envy anybody's position, if you cause strife, James puts it just the way it is. He says, there confusion lies, and it is nothing but evil. That's why whenever I see envy and strife in a church, I know the devil is in that. The Lord has to know. And don't say, well, pastor, I'm weak. I didn't know. Yes, you did. You cut it out. The Holy Spirit's in you. You see, let me tell you what the devil would do to you. Now, Brother Elvin went out with me tonight, and Brother Carlton said that they couldn't find the church. Now, you think Elvin should feel better than Carlton because he was there? No. What if Elvin said, I was there and you weren't? See, I'm tough and you're not. Then Carlton has a mental problem. Now he's, I wasn't there, so I feel low, and he feel, no, that's strife and confusion. And where does it start? It starts with the devil. Don't think like that. That's the way the world thinks. There's no competitive spirit in the house of God. You don't compete with each other because, you see, you're going to have to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, and then there is no strife. But he says it right here. He says it right there in that particular verse 16. For where is envying and strife? He says, what does it do? It leads to confusion, and the devil is behind it. Now, let's go to another scripture. In other words, before we go there, that makes you instability is spoken about here. You become an unstable Christian. Because wherever you go, you start in some hell. Well, do you agree with that? Well, when somebody comes to you, the first thing that you should say is, why did you come to me? Just ask them right up front, why did you come to me and ask me whether I agree? Number one, that's none of your business. Why did you come to me? You better listen to the way the devil works. The devil will call you and say, did you hear what they said? Don't answer yes. Ask them, why are you calling me? Cut it off quick. You know, there's one thing that I love about Lucy, my wife. You know what? Don't nobody ever call her. They never call Lucy. Because Lucy says, why are you talking to me like this? They won't call her. They can't get through to her that way. But you get this, they will call who they can get through to. Did you hear what happened? Yeah. Tell me more. Yes, they're giving you garbage in your ear as a garbage pail. Watch that. You ladies, watch that. You watch that. You get around, ladies, my honey, let me tell you something. Watch that kind of stuff. It's strife and confusion. You don't believe me. Acts 19:29. We're going to use our Bible, and I want you to mark these scriptures down. Acts 19:29. When somebody calls you, give them the scriptures over the phone. You start in strife and confusion. And then tell them to turn to Acts 19:29, where it says, and the whole city was filled with confusion, and having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And of course, you got to read that on your own. Here they're talking about when Paul was witnessing there in Ephesus, the whole city was full of confusion because a bunch of rebel rousers got together and said, oh, those group of cult people over there, and they broke in, drug them out of their house, and took them to, it was like an amphitheater, and they were going to make a mockery out of it. Did you know that that's where strife starts? Somebody call you and say, brother, did you hear this? Did you hear that? And you don't know anything, and then you call somebody else. Then the thing snowballs. And the next thing you know, you come to church, and two clicks, one group on this side and one group on that side. I come out, I want to preach, and the pastor's dead. The usher board is dead. The brethren are dead. The sisters are dead. Everybody's dead. Everybody's looking at everybody. Don't trust nobody. And then the Holy Spirit is telling me, scorch him. Scorch him. Why, Lord? What's going on? Because it's strife and confusion. Go to another scripture, Acts 21:34. Turn over one page in your Bible. 21:34. Same situation. Now, this is really, really terrible. Terrible right here. Paul had to be rescued from a group of people that were going to tear him in shreds by the Roman soldiers. And look what the people were saying. And some cried one thing and some another among the multitude. And when he should not know the certainty of the tumult, that's a confusion, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. In other words, when they brought Paul in, one crowd was saying one thing, and the other crowd was saying the other thing, and the governor said, bring him in here. I don't know what's going on. Is that the way it is in church? What was the statement that was said? Well, I don't know, but all I know is this. You don't know enough. Shut up. Because, you see, if you spread that, you are starting a trouble, and there needs to be order in the church. Now, why did I give you these scriptures? Because I want you to know tonight that God can never be honored whenever there's confusion and strife in the church. You can't honor God in that way. Where there's disharmony, and we know what disharmony is when there's no harmonious relationship. I saw Jody and his brother playing a game with little Carlton today that was harmonious. I didn't see Alvin Jr. with his jaws all poked out, his fists all swell up, sweat coming all out his forehead, saying, I want my turn. And then when he didn't move, knock him out and take the thing and says, I got this. Because I know Big Alvin would do some more knocking out. See, now that's the Holy Spirit's job in the church. The competition, let me talk about that again. I said disharmony and competition. If ever you have to compete in God's house, you're in the wrong business. There's no competition in Christianity. You're not competing with anybody. Frenzy, a frenzic spirit. I saw an Alfred Hitchcock movie called Frenzy. And that's the way some folks act in church. They just go crazy, like a wild whirlwind swooping around pew to pew, trying to destroy the members of God. Self-serving. You want everything to be directed at you. Make me feel good. Tell me how well I preach, how well I sing, how well I do. If nobody ever gives you a pat on the back, who's the only one that can do that anyhow? The Lord. That's it. Holy Spirit's the only one that can say, you did a real good job. And when are you going to get that stated to you? When you stand before him in glory and not a day before that. Don't ever look for that. Don't ever look for that. When I preach and some people say, oh, pastor, you preach so well. I feel like I'm putting my head in a hole somewhere because I didn't do what I should have done right. Listen to this. When there's self-serving glory and chaos and when that happens in the church, there has to be some order in the church. One last point. If you needed any more proof in your life that Satan has control of you, you know it when there is strife and confusion coming from you. One more scripture. James chapter 3. Go there with me just one more time. We'll be out of here in 4 minutes. James chapter 3. 14 through 18. I want you to read those verses with me. And I want you really to mark this down, because in your life, in this church, this is going to happen. And it's sad when it does. Let's start with verse 14 through verse 18. It says, but if you have bitter envying, James hits it right on the head. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't glory. Don't you lie against God. This wisdom is not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace of them that make peace. If you ain't making peace like this, you're wrong. And isn't it amazing that James says the same thing that Paul said, especially when he spoke about confusion. Know this, that whatever happens in the Christian church, God has an answer for it. And it's in the Word. And I want you to know, especially as new Christians and new members of this church, that throughout your tenure in this church, there's going to be some folks trying to start some strife and confusion. I don't want you to answer in your own spirit. Don't be calling up your buddy or your sweetheart or whoever and say, honey, is that right? What do you think? Go to your notes. Write them a letter and write these scriptures down. It says, I love you in Jesus, but I pray that you read these scriptures and pay attention to them and apply them to yourself. And then when they come back and roll their eyes at you and look at you like you are the scum of the earth, you better expect that. Because people that do not want to be corrected will approach you that way, even believers. Then it's out of your hands. The Holy Spirit will become the whipping tool to whip that Christian into subjection. Then the pastor enters into it with discipline and say, there's something wrong in your life. Because you are the starter of strife and confusion. And that's not what the Holy Spirit produces. Those verses in James chapter 3, verses 14 and 18 are key principles, because I'm going to tell you all something. That's what you ought to be aiming at. Every time you do and say anything in the church, you bring order, because you say, well, that's what the Spirit produces, and that's what I want to produce. And I love what he said. He says that this is nothing but sensual, devilish, and earthly, and it doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. He hits it right on the head. So I want to admonish you believers here tonight that as you continue to love your Lord and travel along with us in this body, in this church, your church family, and listen, don't just hold that file of it. Share this with some of your friends who go to other churches. When they call you and try to tell you about church fights, oh, the preacher took the money and run away, and the deacon stabbed the other deacon out on the lot, and they cussing and everything. Then you use these scriptures and say, what kind of Bible study y'all have? What you mean? What kind of Bible study you have? And then say, get your Bible, and you're going to have your notes right in front of you. And then you're going to say, this is what the Lord produces. And then you know what that person's going to say? That person's going to say, you mean to tell me you don't have that in your church? And this is what you're going to answer as I close out. If it exists, it doesn't exist on my behalf, because I know what the Word of God teaches about it. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you tonight for this very insightful lesson on order in your church. Father, we pray that we might always live in order and that we might apply the scriptures daily to our lives. And Father, if we forget them, you will never forget us. I trust that your Holy Spirit might continuously teach us. Bless these that have come out tonight. We thank you for Jerry. We thank you for Marilyn, who chose to come this way tonight. I bless them for that. And watch over them in their homes and their families. And watch over all of these that are here. Those of us that's been on the battlefield a few years longer than the younger ones, give us, Lord, more courage, for our task might be greater. Help these youngers that are growing, that they might understand the importance of a lack of competition and a heart full of grace and love.
Wow, that was it.
And Heavenly Father, guide me as their pastor as I continue to endeavor to feed them until they want no more. Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Man, a lack of competition. Can you believe that? It's back in 1988.
I believe that I've said enough. And I believe that you've heard enough to analyze yourself, whether you are one of those kind of members that needs to be disciplined, or one of those kind of spiritual leaders that needed to take maybe a closer look at confusion in the church. And never let it be said that you, as a Christian, are the author of confusion.
Yeah.
For our text said that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Man, see, now, check it out. I preached that back in the day. Man, I preached that back in the day. And so you would expect me to believe what I preach, right? And I did. That's why the day that the coup d'etat took place at the vet, I just unsnapped the keys off my belt buckle. I think that was 1997 or 98. And said, you can have this, because my God didn't call me to be a part of that. That's why I didn't fight to remain in the pastorate and nor compromise myself to do what those dirty people wanted. And, I sadly to say, I have to say this. There's still some of those people trying to do ministry who stole it and took it wrongfully and are still trying to gain monies or some kind of self-righteous deed that they've done. They've broken all the rules of the text of Scripture. And that's in church after church. That's why I tell you, it would be best for you if you could. You know, I was looking at a friend of mine. He's an organist in a church. He plays the organ and the piano in a church. And I love choir rehearsal. I was looking on YouTube and I saw some choir rehearsals, and it made me think about the 17 years that I was in the choir. And I remember when Brother Tony used to come by and try to teach the people in the vet harmony and whatnot. And I want to go by a church and hear some good singing. I love some good singing, but preaching? Nah, it doesn't exist like this in the church anymore. But thank you for coming to my website and being a part of listening to these vintage sermons and messages. That was in 1988. This is 2018. I don't know when you're going to hear this, but I hope that it's able to help you. But you know the drill when you're listening to me. Stay into the Word of God, and you can't go wrong. Thank you.